Kia ora, tā alofa, hi, and welcome to another episode of Tanarumanga's Team Talk, proudly sponsored by Victual, New Zealand's first health and wellbeing supplement range that combines ancient Māori and Pacifica wisdom and ingredients. And my guest this evening, he is born in Levin and grew up in both Levin and Fielding before moving to Christchurch. He debuted for the All Blacks in 2015 and was part of the squad that went on to win the Rugby World Cup in England that year, and he's played 56 tests. He played against the British and Irish Lions in 2017, and he was the winner of the Tom French Cup in 2018, which recognises the best Māori rugby player of that year. He has been one of the cornerstones to the success that is the Crusaders, winning multiple championships, which is very frustrating to those that are coaching against the Crusaders. I can attest to that. And he's also stepped into the business world, where he's about to launch Eclipse Sports Recovery Drinks. Cody Taylor, welcome on, and thank you for your time, brother. It's a huge honour.
Thanks for having me on, man. It's an honour for me as well. It's sort of listening to some of the other podcasts that you've had on there and people, and I was blown away by some of the people you've already talked to. So, yeah, thanks for having me on.
Nah, hey, no. And I think that's something that you'd know as well as, man, you don't understand or you don't think about the networks that you create, you know, when you're in this game. You know, those are just guys I'd played with and, you know, come across. And you know, some of them I hadn't even contacted for ages until I tapped them on the shoulder and said, hey, yeah. Remember me?
Yeah.
You know, and, yeah, they're you know, more than, just like yourself, you know, more than happy to come on and have a chat and actually just catch up, see how things are going. And I think that's one thing I've learnt through this, you know, doing this is the networking part. What are your networking skills like?
Yeah, it's funny you sort of mentioned that. I was actually thinking, like, you know, the whole sort of point around, like, jumping on here, sort of talk around rugby and a bit of business. And I think you're right, you know, you have met so many people in this professional world, I suppose, with rugby, and you get so caught up in it that, I think when you step aside and get into some business, like the business world as well, like you actually can draw on a lot of resources that you wouldn't have even thought of. You know, we're just rugby players at the end of the day, but then, yeah, when you step into a whole new world, you do meet people along the way that you can just like sort of have light bulb moments. You're like, oh, geez, I met this guy. Maybe I could ask him or get in contact. And it's amazing that I suppose – some people can put you on not a pedestal, but, you know, I suppose where you're at in terms of sports and stuff, they want to help you, it seems, and nothing's a burden for them. And I'd like to hopefully say the same about myself one day. That's what I've found so far. And you try and draw on those the more you step out of your comfort zone, because that's how you learn, right? Ask, you know.
Yeah, that's right. That's the hard thing sometimes is asking, you know, and you know that – as soon as you step out of that comfort zone, that's when the growing begins, you know, but it's taking that first step. That's the hard one. And, you know, you've achieved a lot and you're still going to achieve some more. And I think the idea that you're looking at this business side while you're still in it, you know, that's kind of what I've learned from all these podcasts is actually I didn't even realize it till I'd started this last year sometime, yeah. You know, which was a long time after the fact. And, you know, I think you're so right, and we've talked about it on here before around, you know, there's so many good people, rugby people that want to help. And, you know, what I've met some business people, and when they're talking to me, I said, man, what are you on about now?
the jargon and all that.
Oh, 100%. And then they ask about rugby, and then rattle off, and then they see that's the difference, Tana. You know, I talk about business like you talk about rugby, and that's just, you know, that's the life that we've lived in. It's about trying to find those similarities between the two,
100%. I think even though, like you say, a lot of the stuff they talk about goes over your head, like the fundamentals are all the same with what you're trying to achieve. And with business, it's what you want to be performing at a high level, and that's what we do every day as footy players. So I think the fundamentals are the same. It's just all the all the knowledge is different, you know.
And yeah, that's right. And they have their own, like you said, their own jargon, and you know, I learnt about the five P's in rugby. You know, preparation prevents piss poor performance. And then, you know, one of our business mentors asked me, "Oh, do you know the five P's?" I says, "Oh, yeah, I know it, mate." Prevention. He goes, "No. Product. Was it product price?" I can't even remember them now, but it's five totally different things.
I should have my notebook.
Oh, geez, don't listen to me. See, I've forgotten those already. but it's an exciting journey, but it's been a bit tough, bro. Hey, look, I'm sure we'll chat a bit more about business a bit later, but I just want to, if we can go back, you know, about your younger years, and, you know, with growing up in Levin. I'm a Wellingtonian, and we used to stop in Levin every year on our rugby trips, as we'd go through to the Hawke's Bay. You know, we'd stop by the train station there, and there's a bakery that would always stop there. I think you've probably stopped at it. But it's also been given a bit of a bad rap in its heyday, you know, about being one of the most boring places to live.
Yeah, that's. I think it's still got that rep. I'm a Levin boy. I actually grew up in Australia for most of my childhood until I was 11 and moved back. And that's sort of when I started playing rugby. First week back, we moved back actually was, the first Saturday morning was out there running around playing with my cousin. And I was playing league when I was in Aussie. So first rugby game, first tackle, I got up and tried to play the ball. But I had to learn pretty quick in that sense. But, it's a small place. Like, I've got a lot of family still there. Mum and dad, obviously, looked after us there. And then they're actually down in Christchurch now. So I've just got my sisters that are still up north. And, great little place. I think, there's, from a rugby perspective, there's actually quite a bit of talent in Levin and potential. I think it's just... you don't realize when you're in Levin, you don't actually realize, how big bloody New Zealand is, let alone the world, and you get caught up in it a bit. So, my thinking was getting out of there as, as soon as I could and sort of broaden my horizons. And that happened when I went to fielding. So,
that must have been a bit of a culture shock coming from Australia and then go to small town Levin,
Hard out. I mean, I was in I was on the outskirts of Brisbane, so it's a smaller community, but it was, man. And, being a Māori boy, like I still haven't really connected with that side, but, just stepping into that, that sort of going to the marae and stuff, that was real foreign for me. And, I didn't know how it all worked and didn't know you meant to go grab a tea towel after everyone finishes eating or help give spuds and stuff. So, got a few crooked looks at the times, but
I'm sure you're a fast learner, and they would have taught you quick too, eh?
Dad definitely made us know how to do it pretty quick.
Yeah, and so you went on to fielding. Did you just go up there for school?
Yeah, so I did the old second year seventh and repeated.
Nothing wrong with that, mate.
I was one of the younger ones, and I thought, I want to play some decent first of team footy before I sort of look at my next option. And funny enough, Braden Whitelock, everyone knows that name in the rugby world, Sammy and Georgie and all that's father, sort of got me in contact with fielding and had the opportunity to board there for the year, and I absolutely loved it. I think it was a sort of a great stepping stone for me to move away when I did down to Christchurch, just to have a taste of that independence. And I still went home every weekend, but made sure, I think just the habits that you get taught and you instill when you're in boarding school was awesome. I didn't have to go through all that, junior stuff when you're down in the picking order, sort of started at the top. So it wasn't a true boarding school experience, but it was still fun.
Sure. And, with fielding and moving down to Christchurch, was that with, obviously, as you said, with Braden Whitelock, his boys went down there. Was it just a natural progression for you to move down to Canterbury as well?
Yeah, well, sort of post-rugby, after fielding, after that finished, Well, I'd actually, Canterbury sort of had approached me. I think the year earlier was like the NZ17s, and then Angus Gardner, who was our manager at the time, who's now like the performance manager for the Crusaders.
Mm.
Him and Matt Sexton, who was our position specific coach, he was also at the camp. So I suppose, I don't know, they saw something and offered me the opportunity to go down there. And I also had the opportunity to stay in Manawatu. Jason O'Halloran was floating around at that time. It was a pretty tough decision, but I just thought at the time, you know, Canterbury being, they were a pretty special team back then. Corey Flynn was down there, and I thought if I can sort of crack it down in like one of the best provinces, then I'll be doing pretty well. That was my whole thought process, and it sort of took a while, but I suppose it went all right for me.
It certainly has. And has hooker always been your position, or you know, were you one of those transplanted number eights, you know, that kind of moved into hooker?
I actually played prop when I was at Hotafanua College. I was just a big boy and there was no other prop, so I played prop first, threw in the line out though, and then hooker straight away went fielding, went to hooker, and just a little bit of loose forward, but I was always a bit short. So
geez, with the way you play now, I could never imagine you being a prop or a hooker to start off with. You know, you definitely look like a loose forward. You play like a loose forward now.
Thanks, bro. Try to. I think I try to more than anything.
Oh, well, as you'd know, you have to these days.
Just trying to keep up with the talent coming through. Holy.
And we'll talk about your Crusaders culture, because like I said, I've been one of those frustrated about going down there and not getting some success like we've tried to.
Yeah.
What do you think sets it apart? You know, obviously, you've been unbeatable in finals in the last five even longer years. Obviously you've got great talent. But you know, as we know, talent's not—it's not just about talent that wins championships. And you've got the coaching staff that are down there. You know, what can you share without giving too much away? I'm sure that makes you a special place down there.
It's all good. I suppose, like when I look back, I was sort of part of a team since 2013 to that 2015 where things started to change. Or 2016, I suppose. You know, we still had unbelievable talent. Like you say, we had, you know, two of the GOATs, like DC, Richie, and like Rito and all that running around. And we still, you know, we lacked something. We couldn't get the job done in those years. We came close in finals, but didn't. And then I think just the shift in a bit of culture stuff. I don't know. I sense that in my younger years, we weren't as connected as we should have been. Like, I know you've got to earn the likes of older players respect in a sense, but like we were, you know, in the wider squad, we were fully segregated from the full squad. You know, we're in another changing room, and I think we drive, like nowadays we drive, a young guy coming in should feel as welcome as, you know, a guy that's played 100 games, because that means you're going to get the best out of him when he gets his opportunity. And I think, you know, over the last few years, people like that have had to step up, and they have, because I'd like to think that they've felt comfortable enough to express themselves. And that just comes off the back of a good culture, you know. We know how flamboyant and that razor can be, and he doesn't mind being the wee peacock, and, you know, but he does drive that that culture really well. And just detail, you know, the way the game's going, you have to nail all your detail within it. And if you're not prepared to learn or try new things, then I think that's where you're in trouble. And I suppose it's something that our coaching staff at the moment pride themselves on and do really well.
Yeah, well, you've got to. You know, it's good that you talk about the coaching staff, you know, because you have got a very good coaching staff. I've worked with all of them, actually, except for one guy there, you know, Tarmody Ellison. How's my mate Tarmody Ellison going down there?
He's unreal, eh? Like, as we speak, he's actually not with us because he's isolating at the moment.
Oh,
yeah, whole COVID sitch. But I haven't met a more passionate man about defense in my life, in my whole rugby career. I think he loves it. And when he first came down last year, I was really surprised. Oh, man, you know, that's like Wellington Hard would come down, but mate, he's, you know, the manner of the man, and I just have so much respect for who he is as a person, and he shows that in the way he coaches. You know, he's just willing to give you his best so that you can go out there and perform.
Mm. And he's always been like that, eh? even as a player, and you know, when he's your teammate, he's so positive. You know, sometimes I know. Remember when we were playing, I was going, man, you're right. He's just saying, I'm good, man. Let's go. We can do this. Oh, nice. And I was that old guy. Oh, calm down, mate. You take it. I've got enough energy for this. You got too much energy for all of us. But no, I've got a lot of time for Tams, and it's been great to see him down there. And he speaks highly of his time down there. So, yeah. Oh, geez. It's sad that COVID, eh? It's getting everybody. I know.
Well, like the Hurricanes boys at the moment have been pretty hard, I think. And minor Pacifica earlier than that, but yeah, I just think you have to be pretty diligent in your group. Got the wife locked down a little bit at home, and it's hard on them, you know. But we drive that pretty hard in the group, because if we're doing the little things right, it means you can put your best team forward.
Now you just played your first game for the season, you know, after a lengthy break, and scored two tries from a rolling maul. They still count, eh? They all count, mate, no matter if they're 50 metres or 2 metres. But, you know, how hard is it, for All Blacks? They've had a long season, and then you get a break, which you definitely need. You know, you spend time with your family, especially after the season you had last year. Were you away? How long were you away for last year? 15 games, 15 weeks?
I think it was 101 days.
I remember, I think what year it was, I think my last year, I think that was the breaking point for me when I was away over 100 days. And that was just being away from home. And I thought, that was going to leadership meetings and things in different parts of the country. You know, you'd play a game on Saturday and we'd have to jump on a plane Sunday morning and go to a leadership meeting all day, come back Sunday night, and then go to, you know, say goodnight to your kids and, you know, go to work in the morning. And I think that was kind of the telling blow for me. I said, oh, nah, man, I've had enough of this. I actually remember Jerry Collins keep ringing me. Oh, he'd had enough. He says, oh, Tia, I've got a family thing on us. Don't lie. We're in the same family. I thought, I'll just tell Tim, I can't make it. I said, no. But, you know, how difficult is it? I know it's great being home and with the kids in there, but how difficult is it in that period? Because you have to prepare by yourself, don't you? You know? Obviously, we've got a few, I've had experience with some guys that haven't looked after themselves well in their break that they've had. So when they come back, it's taken them a little while to get up to match fitness.
Fat man's club.
How do you cope with it, bro? How do you look after yourself? You know, obviously you're experienced now, but, you know, what's your go-to?
Definitely last year was tough, like, really tough mentally. I think that's probably one of the hardest experiences I've had being away from home. So just touching on that when I got back, I just locked it down in Christchurch. Like, I didn't leave. We stayed home. And it was awesome. It was the best time. Like, we didn't go on holiday or anything. But I think for me, I actually really enjoy the off season. Like, I don't know. I like to branch out when it comes to like S&C stuff around my fitness and that, and I probably get a bit carried away at times. I've got a bro who owns a gym down here called 6-4 Fitness, and it's CrossFit, so it's pretty hard out. But I just go there every day and do what I have to. He pushes me, and it's just nice to be able to be in a different environment. You know, like, these people are so much fitter than me and anyone I've ever trained with before. it's unbelievable to just see like these normal people that you wouldn't even know, like lawyers, accountants, they can just throw a barbell around and bloody walk on their hands and stuff. It's pretty pretty awesome that we'll see. But yeah, there's still that team, I suppose, feel to it, but it's in a whole new group. And then when I get back into the Crusaders and Super Rugby, it's really refreshing again, because you've got these young guys who have been in the preseason campaign for the last 6 to 8 weeks and how hard they're working. So it makes you know, you have to really sit down, right, I've got a plan here, because these guys have been going hard and you don't want to let the boys down and turn up and be real rusty. But yeah, that's sort of the way I've approached it the last few years, and it's good.
And it must be, you know, like you say, you know, you've got people from different walks of life, eh? You know, so they're not all rugby heads talking about rugby, or, you know, talking about a lineup that, you know, we've got to work on, or, you know.
No, and that's just the bro giving me smack. Yeah, every game he's watched the year before, but no, the rest of them are real good. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, must be good too, like, not being in that regimented schedule, having to be somewhere at a certain time and being a meeting, you know. I know that was something that our boy, I know for me, but I don't love a meeting. You know, if we can get by without having a meeting, I'm pretty happy. You know, but on the other side, you know, now that I've stepped away from rugby, I've found myself looking for a structure, you know, like I got out because I work for myself, so I get, but I don't know what to do with myself. Should I be doing something now?
Yeah. Should I be productive? And,
yeah, exactly. And, you know, like I say, just, and when you get into something new, you don't know what's productive or what's a waste of time, because you just, there's so many things that you have to think about.
Yeah.
So, once you're finished with it, that sometimes having something to go to is a good thing.
Yeah.
And also, you know, when you're a hooker, especially in the All Blacks, it's always in a kind of position that you have to sit and do your time behind someone, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, that's definitely the way it went for me. And, at the time you don't like it, but it's probably the best thing for you. Like you say, it's, you gain experience, you get a few hide-ins and scrums, you sort of, you work on your throw-in, all that little stuff, I think paid off in the end for me. But, yeah, I think you're right. It's a different one. I think most front rowers are the same, even if you're a prop as well. Takes a bit longer, you know, it's sort of a bit of the whole man strength in that position as well. So, yeah.
You know, and how'd you deal with that? You know, because, again, it was something that I've noticed, like, obviously you think about Sean Fitzpatrick and Norm Hewitt, who was, you know, I played with, and he, you know, he must have, I'm guessing, must have played 60 tests from the bench behind someone that nearly played 100, you know. And then, you know, there was obviously the likes of Dane to Kevin, and yourself to Kevin and Dane now, you know, and there'll be no doubt, you know, those guys, and there'll be, you know, Simon who's coming in, you know, Samasuni that's coming in behind you. That, how do you deal with that, you know, when you're that close and, you know, everyone wants to start, you know, we know we've got a job to do, from whether it be starting or from the bench, but, you know, knowing that, because I want to start, I want to get, you know, that number two jersey.
Yeah. When I was a young fella, like I said, sort of always thought I was ready, but probably wasn't. And probably grateful now.
I'm glad you admitted that, because there's probably some young guys that won't admit it.
Yeah. Oh, man. Like, I remember playing my first preseason for the Crusaders. I think I was 19. I think I might have hit bloody 2 out of 10 lineouts, you know. And like, just looking back now, I'm like, man, you were in a deep end right there. It's like, what were you doing? But I learnt from it and sort of just got on with it. And, you know, 3 or 4 years later, I got my opportunity. And I suppose now I look back on those times and think, you know, it was all worth it. And definitely was. And I think, I don't know, like you said around Kevy and Dane. I think likes of Kevin Mialami was probably in a transitional period from when, like, the guy ahead of him I can't imagine was very nice, or you know how it used to be. No one,
yeah,
you
know, yeah, having exactly.
my position. I've heard some interesting things about Norm Hewitt to the younger guys, and even like Colsey.
Yeah,
when he was first coming through, there's definitely a little bit of respect to be earned, like buying your time. But I think nowadays, Crono drove it a lot when I first came in the All Blacks. It's like helping each other, is helping the team. You know, if you're upskilling him, it means the team's going to be better all around. And if you're the coach, you're going to become a better player as well. And hopefully, the likes of Sonny and Asafo and can sort of say that we chipped in where we could, and when our time's up, they'll come through the ranks and be those guys as well. I think that's the mindset shift that I've probably noticed when I first started to now. Okay.
It wasn't just hookers that had that mindset,
Yeah. Oh, I bet.
It was definitely an old school mindset. Yeah, I'm sure you have. And so what's the future hold for you now with your footy? I think you've signed with New Zealand long term. Well, up until the work.
I've sat back in summer thinking, holy moly, I've signed a 4-year deal, so I'm locked in and hugely grateful for that. But I'm thinking, man, I've got to get my carcass through 4 more years. I still want to be playing at a high level. I will be with Super Rugby alone. So, I think just given the current climate in New Zealand or in the world, just seemed like the best choice for me and my family. There'll be three kids. I'll have three. Two of them will be at school by then. So by the time I finish, I couldn't imagine myself leaving, packing up now and going to likes of France or anything. Still want to do more and, the black jersey, red and black jersey. So that was the whole thinking behind the day.
Oh, nice. And like you say, as hookers go, you've still got plenty more years in that casket to go. I don't know how you guys do it. The likes of Kiwi and Dane before and yourself, you're in the middle there. Your arms are wrapped up. You can't protect yourself in the middle of those scrubs.
Yeah. I feel my neck getting shorter and shorter each year, honestly.
I'm sure if they measure you, you would be. And so, you're starting to move into business, and your attitude around business has always been something that you'd wanted to get into, your recovery drinks, around the supplement side, or is it just, something, an opportunity that came up?
I don't know. I've always been interested in other things and rugby, you get opportunities, you earn good money, you want to do something good with it. And then I suppose combining that with my passion for fitness and, that whole world. I think a big part of me personally is I always enjoy looking for the next thing that can sort of help me perform better. And I suppose naturally that just took me to sort of a bit of nutrition. I've had some good chats with Katrina Derry, who's our nutritionist for the All Blacks. And just long story short, there was a drink we were drinking in off season that was claiming all these recovery benefits, and we're like, man, why can't we do this? And actually put the amounts you need in it that are actually going to benefit. You probably had the same experiences around with your supplements. And also in the All Blacks, we have to drink three different drinks after a test match, and you feel so sick after the fish oils, the smoothie, the deer's blood. Honestly, it's terrible. So I just sort of thought, maybe we can make this all in one and try and make it half decent tasting. And combining that with the first idea just naturally came about. And I think we've learned a lot along the way. We've actually probably blown a lot of money and also learnt a lot from those experiences. But, you know, hopefully one day I can say, look, that wasn't a waste of time or money, because that was where we learnt our most and come out even better for it. So
we all know from the earth, goodness grows. Victual, New Zealand's own health and wellbeing supplement range with native and Pacific ingredients. Visit victual.co.nz and take your first step to help your goodness grow.
Yeah.
Hey, look, you know, as I've learned, hey, you worry about it, but all startups, you know, don't succeed. Hey, there's so many.
Yeah.
And that's not saying you won't, but that's the kind of mindset. But knowing that, you know, you learn about, like you say, here's some jokes, and boot your bootstrap your startup. So, you know, it means you fund it yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, yeah. You know, we're doing the same thing. But then you also know, hey, that's not a never-ending pot of money that's coming.
Yeah. It's not
forever,
right?
Yeah. So you're still, it's either, man, I've got to keep playing for a lot longer, or actually I've got to be a bit wiser and efficient about how I use my money and, you know, where we're going to go with that. We're going through that at the moment. And I think, you know, you talk about taste. Taste is huge, eh? You know, everyone say, yeah, it does this, but it tastes.
Yeah. Yeah. No one's going to touch a product, eh?
Yeah.
It could make you a superhero, but if it tastes rubbish, then, yeah, you're out of luck.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. And did you have any background, you know, in terms of, you know, when you came through school, you know, did you, was there anything in, like, you thought about doing a business degree? Did you do anything that way? You know, are you doing that at the moment as well as, you know, before you launch the get into the business?
Not really. Eh? When I first left school, I was doing a sports science degree. And to be completely honest, I lasted 6 months and I was like, man, I'm not enjoying this. Like, I think it was the anatomy papers that threw me off. I was like, this is crazy. Like, but after that, I dabbled in other things. Like, I love getting on the tools and building, and I can see that being potentially something I do after footy. You know, but with this drink and this idea, I think we're really going to push hard for it. Like, the guy where I train for the gym at 6'4", he's my business partner, and he's like more passionate than I am about high performance. So we sort of work well together. And I suppose with his networks in the CrossFit world, that seems to be a big market for us around supplements. And I don't know if you've heard of the drink, like FitAid. There's a sort of like Monster, but with good nutrients and stuff in it. It's sort of our angle, like a carbonated beverage that's, you sort of crave after a workout. And that's the whole idea around it. And sort of diving into some pre-workout stuff as well around a carbonated pre-workout drink. Plenty already out there, but like I see, you've got batch tested product, and that's just a point of difference that we want to sort of target as well. You know, I notice in the All Blacks and even in the Super, a lot of boys drink Red Bull before training. It's like, well, can we actually add caffeine and maybe a few, I don't know, nootropics where you're actually getting some benefit? 100%. From not just drinking a fizzy with 300 milligrams of caffeine.
And, you know, so much sugar in it that it's going
to... Exactly.
Yeah, you're right. And so when did it start, you know, you and your mate starting up Eclipse?
Well, we started... Well, that first lockdown was when we had our first conversations with people. So we were, like, constantly Zooming with people. There's a company called Food South that looked after us, and we contracted up with them, and they sort of helped develop the first one. Turns out, nothing against Food South, they were amazing, but the first drink turned to rubbish, absolute rubbish, and just didn't formulate. So we were making gunky fizzy. So that was sort of, we lost a little bit of money there. And I think the biggest learning for us is that we tried to launch too early. We made like a small trial, and then we went, boom, let's make, I think at the time it was like 5,000 litres of this beverage. And it's like, can you imagine how much money that is? And then, it all turned to crap. And I had cans sitting in my garage for a whole year that were just undrinkable, but I was just too attached to them. To
That's my money. That's my money.
Yeah, I know. I came home and no word of a lie, like boxes were had mold on them because some of them have exploded because they went off. Like, uh-oh. I'm not talking the product here at all.
And, yeah, yeah.
It'll be better, but yeah, those are just some experiences that we've had along the way. But it's, yeah.
But those are the things, eh, that you learn from, like you said, and, you know, I've heard so many stories in recent times about that's just, you know, but the first step is always the hardest one, and, you know, you're understanding that, yeah, I've got this great idea, now how do I put it into practice or, you know, make it something tangible? And you're right, hey, it's just knowing, you know, when to actually, all right, I'm happy with it now, you know, we've done everything. And yeah, yeah, you know, it's going to be safe to go to market and it's going to be the way that I want it to be, you know. But on the other side of that, hey, you're so keen to get it out there and, gosh, man, we don't want to miss out. You know, it's that's where my wife and I, we're the two. She's the get it out there. I'm the, are you sure? Are you sure?
Yeah.
Oh, it's
what I need to be.
Yeah, so it's, you know, you've got to have those, you know, I'm that kind of guy that, no, we don't want to risk it too early, you know, and it blows, you know. And she's, once we get out there, it's out there, and then, you know, we can start to, you know, we're on and we can start to, you know, learn about it. And I was going, no, you know, that's a really public place to make a big mistake.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially, you know, the industry we're in at the moment,
And you're attaching your name to something like a product, like straight away, you know, you put it out there and it turns to rubbish and, it comes back to you, no one else. Like,
100%
the reality of it.
But oh my look, and it's like you said, that failure to actually getting into actually that's the best place to grow from. Because it's never batch number one. That's the perfect one, eh? You know, it's always or adapting. And sometimes I'm. Well, how come batch number one's not perfect? Because I thought we were going to be perfect the first time. Something's changed, you know, something new's come along. And, we want to add that into, because that, you know, again, those benefits that that you know about or, you know, that, again, scientifically proven that, you know, that's the key thing. That's something that I think with, you know, in my time with the All Blacks as well, they're always trying to get that, you know, that those 1%ers, but it's not, it's all about the benefits. It's not about, but that was yuck. If I wasn't in this environment, I'd never take it again. So what do you think, you know, are the few skills or transferable skills that you've kind of, you know, learning from, that you've learned from rugby that you can transfer into, you know, the business world, you know, in the way that you've started?
I think, firstly, the first one would just be around being so determined to find a way. And like, you know, you think about where, you know, as a young fella, we always wanted to be an All Black or whatever. And something along the way just triggered us to keep working hard, and eventually I suppose we got that opportunity and we did it. I think that in itself is a huge value for business. I think your determination to find a way, you put in the mahi and you'll get there. I think, like we touched on earlier around the whole networking thing, drawing off those people, that's really something we didn't do at the start, and now we're doing better. You know, the likes of Katrina Derry, who's, you know, a world-renowned nutritionist, our one Conrad here at the Crusaders, he's been awesome. And then also just staying in your lane, you know, you do what you're good at and let the other guys like nail their role. So we found that with our new guy who's formulating our drink, you know, we have no idea. We know what we want to put in it. And then he talks all this jargon, oh, yeah, we're going to tweak it like this, blah, blah, blah. And you're just like being happy with, yo, he can take control of that area. I'm not going to pretend like I know anything about it. And when it's ready, we can get it to market and I can just focus on, you know, ordering supplies, ingredients, cans, all that stuff. Yeah.
It sound like me, bro. I'm the warehouse guy. That's why Yeah. I pack orders, come down in the morning, put my headphones on.
Step on those courier stickers. Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I enjoy it, bro. I said, oh man, this is my level. I love this.
Yeah. Oh, it must be such a fulfilling feeling too, though. Like even watching Adi do it with his clothing brand, it's unreal just to see someone being successful in something they've, you know, totally away from rugby. But it must be so fulfilling to just be in that little zone and knowing that you've sold a product.
Oh, it is. It's like, you know, you have that Shopify app on your phone.
Yeah.
You know, and you get that ding. It's, oh, cha-ching, cha-ching. You still got all this product in your garage, and but there's one sold. That's it. They'll keep coming. You know, you're just determined to sell. It says, yep, you know. So it's funny. You know, you said you've got that that network support, but do you have business mentors?
Well, we had we teamed up with a company with the University of Canterbury. They're called Think Lab, and they're pretty much just grill you. They grill you the whole, every meeting we walk out there feeling so deflated, but at the same time, like, holy man, we've got so much work to do. And like one of the guys is obviously, he's been pretty successful in a lot of small business and startups, and get lost in a lot of his jargon, but sometimes he can explain it or dumb it down in a way that we can understand. And I think drawing on those guys and that's probably the main two that we've looked at. And yeah, I probably need to be better in that sense. Like yourself, like asking you questions would be something I'd love to do, you know, because you're already in market and you're at the point where we want to be in 6 months or 12 months. We don't know, but just those learnings, you know, those are gold for us at the moment. So,
bro, I'm not about to say that I'm a mentor, but anytime you want to ask a question, I'm more than happy to let you know what I know. Or, you know, we've met so many good people, you know, like you say, and you're right. You know, we've got a mentor who's been in business for years, and, you know, he was that guy I was telling you about where he was talking about business and I didn't know what he was talking about. And, you know, I was talking rugby and he was going, so, you know, this is what it's like, you know, that we're just in different fields of expertise. Yeah. But he's been a great help for us, you know, and we got him in once I'd left rugby because exactly, mate, we were just running around chasing our tail, eh? Oh, yeah, no, do that. Oh, no, we have to do that. And in the end, you know, you split yourself between all these things and you don't achieve anything as fast as you actually could if you just, okay, these are, you know, the critical few. You know, these are the critical things that I have to do now. You know, those
things. Rather than all this,
100%. Yeah. You know, these are the critical few. This is all I have to focus on now. That can wait till later, you know. And, we've met and some people we've met too, you know, they're based down in Christchurch. So, man, I'm sure I'll pass on some, you know, some names and I'm sure that'd be really helpful. So how do you deal, like, what coping mechanisms do you have to, you know, deal with when you're not, because it's tough as a footy player and I found it tough even just coaching last year. I was meant to be involved with the whole business side, but, man, I was just, you know, I'd go to work, do my thing, and, you know, you're coaching, and then I'd come home and I was meant to come home and, pack those orders, or we have to make some decisions here. And I says, what do you think? And I was just winding my wife up. She's just getting wound up. Oh, you want to do this? Oh, yep. I was like, I'm too tired. So how do you deal with all that? You know, what mechanisms do you have to cope with, you know, not just the pressures of footy, but, you know, with the pressures of you know, trying to get the business up and running?
Yeah, I think what I learned last year was that I can't, you know, rugby's number one. Like, I've got to put as much energy as I can into that because, like, it's what I love. It's my bread and butter at the moment. It's, you know, it's reality is it's where I can fund this business. So the better I'm doing there, the hopefully the more successful or the more I can put into the business one day. But I think around managing the whole logistics of it, because we're still at the early trial phase at the moment, it's just emails, Zooms, phone calls, and catch ups with the business partner. And then because it's been so long as well since we first started, we front loaded a lot of the whole stock stuff. Like that was our biggest worry, because at the time when we were all in lockdown, we're getting all this product in from around the world, and lead times. You need to find a product.
Yeah.
You get told one thing and you're not getting it for another 2 or 3 months. But I suppose that's been a little bit of a positive for us, not launching straight away, is that we've still got the stock that we can use to make our drink. And at the moment, there's a company, Pacific Flavors, who they manage a lot of our formula. You would know them. And Mike's our main guy. He's the guy helping formulate it. And they've got all our stock at the moment. So they're making the process pretty simple at the moment. I think, it's going to get real tough for us once we go to that launch, once we upscale to that that market size. Stock, then we'll be under the pump, and I need to have a serious sit down. I've got an awesome wife. She's in marketing, so she helps us with that. And she's an event manager by trade, or that's what she's done with marketing. So she knows how to cross her T's, dot her I's, and I'll be drawing on her knowledge once we get to that stage.
Yeah, well, that's all part of it too. It's one thing to actually produce the product. Then you've got to get it to market and then advertise. And that's obviously where you have to come in as well, and that's been a big part of my thing too, just getting out of that comfort zone, because I've been very comfortable just, I like to sit behind and, day's gone, man. But, you've got a product now, so you've got to do what you can, and because you believe in it so much too, I believe in this. I want to give the, I want to share this with the world.
100%. I think I'm probably one of those reserve people. Probably don't try to put myself out there too much. But like you say, with marketing, when it's your product, people want to see your face and they want to see you. You're the one. We're already talking like posters, and that feels so awkward to me. It's like, man, I don't want to be in a poster. But funnily enough, you're on Crusader posters everywhere, but when your own product, you're like, nah. But yeah, it just changes, and you have to be that guy because you want it to excel.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny, like you say, we're involved in all these marketing things, and because we're with a team, and we're just, that guy. I'd stand over there. What are you doing? Yeah.
Read this line.
Smile. Oh, sorry. And then you realize, actually, I have to do this for real. It's because so you're smiling straight away. Yeah, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? It's so funny. And you've talked about health and well-being. Obviously, you love CrossFit. But again, in this times and in these current COVID times especially, how do you deal and look after yourself and your own well-being?
That's another area that I'm probably pretty passionate about, is getting a bit of edge on recovery. I went all out last year and did some gene testing and found out some interesting stuff around what I should actually be taking, nutrient wise, what works for me. So things like, we get told to have magnesium before bed because it helps relax you. Well, for me, it doesn't ever work. So finding out these little things I thought, would be a benefit. I just bought a sauna because that was one of the things, is sauna is real good for my recovery and my inflammation. So I've invested a bit of money into that. And I think, I've always tried to be pretty diligent with recovery. Stretching is a big thing for me. It's one of those every night things before bed. You're sitting down at the end of the bed doing your stretches, and then, pretty random stuff like that. But it's paid off. And I think it's something I probably won't stop even after footy, because when I don't stretch for 2 days, bro, my glutes are blowing out. I can barely walk, and you notice the difference.
But again, that's the measure of yourself, understanding the tools of your trade, is what you walk around and, have to carry around for, all your life and all your days. So the way you look after it, dictates how long you're going to stay at the highest level. And is that an infrared sauna?
It's a Hot Rocks, actually.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know if you heard. Have you heard of Nigel Beach?
No.
He's the sauna man and Wim Hof and everything.
Oh, but, yeah.
Done a little bit of work with him, and yeah, he's big on the Hot Rocks. And yeah, when I found out this whole thing that it was beneficial for me, I was like, yeah, that's me. I'm done. A couple of the lads have the infrared though.
Yeah.
And they rate them. So.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. One thing I did infrared, and again I'm a bit like yourself, you know, I was looking for something, you know, recovery wise, as you do when you get a bit older, you don't you don't even worry about it until you're about 26, 27.
Yeah. Yeah,
but then you hit a point of, this is taking a little bit longer than usual. So you start finding things, and I tried the infrared, you know, what else was there? Obviously massage and stretching became a, like you say, twice a day kind of thing. It was just
Must at the most at the moment, no massage, eh?
Oh, you can't even do that with
just COVID, outside the bubbles. So
if you could have think about, you know, what you've achieved at the moment, what would you think was, you know, your greatest achievement to date? In your rugby career, you know, obviously you're going to have a lot more, you know, with a lot of good things coming up.
It's tough. I think, you know, winning the titles have been awesome. Huge, like the memories. I think for me, as like on a full personal level, would be playing 100 games for the Crusaders would probably be one of my most proudest things. Most proud things I've ever done. I only did it last year, but you play one and you're pumped that you've, you know, cracked super, but to sort of chip away, and especially because it took so long to actually get an opportunity, like it wasn't until 2015 that I actually played some decent time. And looking back now, I think that's where it comes from. You know, it took 3 or 4 years to even get a crack, and then now I can say that I played 100 games for the franchise that gave me a crack. So it's probably, for me on a personal note, the biggest one.
Oh, that's awesome. And that's no mean achievement either, is it, 100 games? I'm a bit like yourself. I always wanted to play 100 games for my province and 100 games for, you know, the Hurricanes. And being able to achieve that is a feat when you think about it in terms of consistency, you know, that kind of tells the story that I was able to turn up to training and play in a consistent way. And I made my coaches, you know, that have I was going to challenge them before they didn't pick me, man. It better be a good reason, because I'm doing everything I can, you know, to get myself out there, because I've got a goal, you know. And I know that's something that I loved, that I hold really dear around that. And, yeah, no, it's no mean feat. So congratulations on that too, bro.
Thanks, man. No, you can't take anything from putting that big jersey on either. But like you say, it's 100 weeks of training for those 100 games, but it's also all those other weeks that you battled away and put in that yakka to get a crack.
And it's your ability to be resilient, we're not playing. I don't want to say it, because I get mocked about it anyway, but we're not playing tiddlywinks out there, eh? You know, every week. And trainings are just the same too. You know, most people would probably get injured at some of the trainings, especially now with the amount of contact, you know, in there, you know. And
the size of the lads, they're getting bigger.
And how fast they can move.
It's scary.
But it's, again, like you say, you know, it's, you know, it's a testament to your ability just to suck it up, get back out there, you know, and find a way. You know, I talked to Sonny Bill the other night, and he said the same thing. You know, that's one of the things he said to young players is just find a way, you know, just find a way. That was one of his pieces of advice, because, you know, when you've been around as long as he has, and like you say yourself, playing 100 games, you find a way, and sometimes it's finding those 1%ers, and sometimes it's just saying, "Oh man, I'm just going to get out there."
Front up.
So who are your role models, you know, when you were coming through, you know, even as a youngster, or, you know, when you came through professional footy or footy in general?
Yeah. I think cliche, like mum and dad were huge. You know, they both played sport when we were kids growing up. I think those small sacrifices that they made along the way around getting you to training every week and then getting you to your game on Sunday, like you can never take that for granted. You know, even now being a parent, like it's hard enough getting like a daughter to gymnastics for one session a week, and you know, you train twice a week for rugby and then you play on Saturday mornings. Like that's a huge commitment from parents. And I think, yeah, I'm just hugely grateful for what they've done. As a sort of teenager coming through, started the gym, and dad was the one at the gym with me, you know, like spotting and all that little stuff. And like that was, you know, I look back now, that was awesome. You know, he was obviously there doing his own workout too, but at times he'd just come along because I was working out, and he was our first 15 coach from when I was at Horowhenua right through to when I left. So they've always been a big part of rugby for me. And I suppose I'm lucky to have parents like that. Not everyone does. And I think they're a big part of how I got to where I am now.
That's right. Hats off to our parents. They do sacrifice a lot for us. Hey, leadership, you know, you've been a captain. And, you know, what is the key skill or attribute that you would connect with leadership for yourself?
I think, yeah, it'd probably be that word connect, like connection. I suppose looking back now, when I first started with the Crusaders, I felt disconnected from the group a little bit. Probably from a personal level too, but like just the way the squad was. I always sort of said that I wanted to be able to connect with every player and at least acknowledge them, whether you're walking in for, you know, 1 week because there's been an injury or you've been there since I first started. I think that's one thing that I sort of want to always be able to say that I did. I made the young fellas feel welcome and I was able to connect with them. Because like I said earlier, if they feel welcome, they can go out there and do their thing.
Nah, 100%. Last question, bro. So what advice or tips would you give, you know, these young guys coming through, you know, whether it be in sport or, you know, who want to start out in business, you know? What have you got for them?
It's business. I think business would be make use of the people all around you. Like that's what we didn't do at the start and found it the hard way, and that's what we're doing now, and it's paying off hugely. And I think with rugby, just persevere. It took a long time to get a good crack, and I look back on those 3-4 years and I think, you know, you hung in there and now look at you. That's sort of probably the biggest advice I could give.
No, awesome, bro. Be proud of that too, bro. You're doing great. Hey, thank you for your time. And I think I can keep going, but it is a bit late. So I really appreciate it, Cody. And I wish you all the best for the season. I do mean it.
No, I wish you all the best with Victor as well, mate. And I just want to say how it's a huge honor, bro. I was one of the young guys when you were still running around carving up. So it's cool to sit here and have a chat, and hopefully we'll be crossing paths one day with, outside of rugby because of where we want to be in the business world. So.
Oh, 100%, bro. And as I said, you know, that invitation, anytime you got my number and how to contact me. So, you know, I'm just willing to pass it on to someone else.
I appreciate it, bro, hugely.
Okay, bro. All right. The best, mate.
Thanks, Tana. Appreciate it, man.
Take care, bro.
See you, mate. Bye.
Thanks for listening. Make sure to check out Victual's website at www.victual.co.nz so you can rebalance your lifestyle with ancient wisdom and ingredients.